Hi, I'm Pastor Torrin Brooks, and welcome to Faith Christian Church. So glad you decided to join us today. For the next 30 minutes, we're going to be looking through God's Word and finding ways for it to apply to our lives today. Hope you enjoy this morning's sermon. Paul, in writing to the Corinthian church, says, listen, we got to put some things together and get our act straight so when God wants to use us, we're not stuck not being able to do anything. So when God says, I need you to support a new missionary, then we've got our act together and we can support a new missionary. When God says, I want you to go out and evangelize, we're not saying, well, how do you do that? No, we're saying, yes, Lord, here am I, send me. We're not stuck trying to figure out our own messes. We've got our stuff straightened out, and now we're ready to follow Jesus the way we're supposed to. I'm not saying life's always going to be perfect. I'm just saying there are some things we do to ourselves that we shouldn't. And listen, if we're going to be the church God called us to be, it's time to get our act straight. Now, I'm not just talking about this church. I'm talking about every church. How many know there's churches all over the nation that got all kinds of problems? Just watch the news. If they hear about a church having problems, believe me, they'll let you know it. Oh, come on now. I'm telling you truth this morning. It doesn't take too long for a minister to have some kind of moral failure. And the first thing is it's on CNN immediately. Oh, it's breaking news. Now, funny, they don't do that with congressmen or senators as fast. Anything the devil can do to tear down the church, he's going to do. And half of it's done because we let him do it. Oh, now I'm preaching and you've confused preaching with meddling. I'm not meddling, I'm preaching this morning. See, the problem is we've got to stop letting the devil mess us up. Start doing what God called us to do. So when God needs us to do what he called us to do, we're not fumbling through our own problems. We're helping the world with theirs. Many of the posters of 9/11 have this saying on the bottom. I always thought it was interesting because it's one of those things that doesn't always make sense the first time you read it. On the bottom it says, never forget. Never forget. And I understand that to some degree because they don't want this. They don't want the image to go away because they want us to be diligent and to be active and aware and alert of what happened so it doesn't happen again. But the reality is that people forget. It was like that in the Corinthian church. See, history has a bad way of repeating itself. When people forget and they allow themselves to fall back into the trap which caused so much destruction before. I'm going to read you a passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 10 this morning. I'm going to read it and then we're going to come back and talk about it for a few minutes. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 1 says this. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. That rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased. For their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples. To the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And do not become idolaters as some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. For no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Can you say amen? God is faithful. who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. It's amazing to me how the story of the children of Israel leaving Egypt and making it to the promised land has so many parts that preachers even today like to skip. It's a great story, a story of deliverance that says, oh, when God's people were enslaved in Egypt, he sent the 10 plagues. Hey, that'd be one for the survey. Ask how many of the 10 plagues they knew. The 10 plagues to wipe out people and to bring judgment upon Egypt for enslaving God's people. And he brought them out of Egypt to the promised land. Hooray! What a great story. Except it just didn't work out as easy as that sounds. A lot of times people would hear the story and they'd forget that only two people that left Egypt ever made it to the promised land. Only two of the people who started in Egypt ever made it to the promised land. It was Joshua and Caleb. In fact, we have this surreal kind of understanding of some of the things that happened. Here is what I think the writer Paul is trying to get to the people, and I'll just kind of go through it verse by verse and tell you what the Lord inspired me to say this morning. He said, I want you all to understand that all of our fathers were under the cloud, passed through the sea, baptized with Moses into the cloud and the sea, ate the same food and drank the same drink. There wasn't a single person that left Egypt alive that didn't have the same chance to get to the promised land as everybody else. See, Joshua and Caleb weren't special. They were just people who believed. Everyone else had the same opportunity to believe. Said, here's what happened. The same children of Israel that left Egypt that all came to the edge of the promised land. They all followed the same cloud. They all passed through the Red Sea together. God did the miracles for them just like he did for Joshua and Caleb. The problem is, though, they didn't take advantage of the opportunities that they had to make it to the promised land. He said they ate the same spiritual food. I don't know if you realize this or not, but that would have been a really interesting concept. You go out in the morning, you wake up, and food is laying on the ground for you. Wow. You just go pick it up. And the funny thing was, the Bible said it was enough to last the entire day. It wasn't just stuff to make bread with. It was stuff that made sweet bread. I don't know about you, but I like sweet bread. Especially like hush puppies that have this sweet and crispy fried. Hallelujah. And, you know, like that sweet bread. And it was like honey to the lips. It was great stuff. So they drank the same spiritual water. I don't know if you realize this or not, but out in the desert, there's not a whole lot to drink. The Bible says that Moses went up to a rock. He was supposed to speak to the rock, but through disobedience, he ended up striking the rock twice, and water came out. Water from a rock. I spent my whole military career hearing that expression. You can't bleed a rock, but apparently you can water one if you hit it hard enough, twice. And the Bible says something even cooler about this rock. The Bible says, and the rock followed them. Now, that's not supernatural, what is? Can you imagine the tribe of Benjamin, which they said was always the least of the tribes, which means they probably would have been the last tribe in line when they're marching down the road. And they're marching down the road to the next spot on their trail, and one of the little kids in the tribe of Benjamin tugs on his mama's sleeve and goes, Mama, I'm scared. Well, why, son? The rock is following us. It's amazing to me that people can grow up in an environment where the supernatural happens every day. When the physical presence of God is in a cloud by day and a pillar of fire. that would have been really cool. I mean, I've seen things on fire before where the fires, you know, a neighborhood house caught on fire when I was a kid and it shot up way up in the air and the flames were going 100 feet in the air and everybody was taking pictures because that's what you do in small towns when there's nothing else to do but run around and take pictures of everybody else's stuff. And here, it's a fire everywhere. And it was really brilliant because it was at night. I'm thinking, the children of Israel follow this every single night. Grew up in the area of the supernatural, and yet being around the supernatural all of their lives, you would think that they would be full of God and full of intensity, and yet the Bible says all of them but two died in the wilderness. Well, Pastor, I don't know how to tell you this, but you're not really filling us with much hope here this morning. Boy, last Wednesday you talked about Noah being the only one that made it in the whole world, and now only two guys make it out of Egypt. Pastor, this isn't very, very comforting. Well, the Bible says narrow is the way. Narrow is the way. You're not going to, a lot of people think they're going to make it. They're not going to make it living what they think is right. They got to live by what the Bible says is right. Paul says, in this incredible environment of supernatural daily activity, many of them lost their lives in the wilderness. Why? By the same reason, many people today will live their lives knowing God, raised in church, like we heard earlier in the testimony earlier, raised in church, and yet never make it to heaven. Why? Because they choose sin over Christ. I told you before, the problem is not that you can't. The problem is most people say, the reality is most people won't. Paul says, listen, I want you to understand something. All the people that died and the various reasons they died, and we'll go through them in just a second, were for you and I to have an example. For you and I to have an example. Now, can we have heroes? Heroes are good examples. Well, there never really was a hero in the Bible except Jesus Christ that was perfect. Every hero I've ever read about in the Bible had some kind of major character flaw. He said, listen, he goes, I want you to understand these things. These people didn't die without any cause. They died because they chose other things. Living in the perfect supernatural environment still chose sin over God. Here's what it says. Since they became an example to us to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And this is verse, it says, verse 7, and not become idolaters. Can you imagine? They're following God. They are following a cloud by day and a fire by night. And that's not enough. You're not listening to me this morning. Listen. They had the physical, tangible evidence of God, and it still wasn't enough. In fact, the moment Moses left, they started asking for idols. God says, listen. Listen, don't be fooled. Do you not realize that one of the top 10 commandments is thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images? Problem is, we just forget what a graven image looks like anymore. It's anything you put over God becomes your idol. I think they named the show right when they called it American Idol. I'm going to get down here rocking metal a little bit. Listen, we live in a world where God's still the same. Now, we don't see the pillar of fire or the cloud of day, but can I tell you something? God's still just as real. And God's saying, listen, don't miss out because you want idols more than you want me. It's easy to be able to put your faith into something you can see. It's difficult to put your faith into something you can't see, but can I tell you, when you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is worth it. Never forget that. Never forget the blessings that Joshua and Caleb had, because when everybody else wanted to go serve a golden calf, they said, not us. You think about that for a minute. You think about that. Listen, the world will give you opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to make an idol out of one thing or another. A friend of mine put it this way in a sermon. He said, whatever you spend the most time with in your life, if you spend more time with it than God, that's an idol. What a world we would live in if Christians would spend just as much time praying to God as watching the news. I wanted to say something else, but I better not. You know, used to when I was growing up, we'd say it this way. If you would pray as much as you watch soap operas. But I got one better, because soap operas have really fallen to the wayside. Let me put it to you this way. If you spend more time watching reality TV than you do praying to God, then reality TV is an idol in your life. I hope you understand that this morning. Here's another one. He says, don't let us commit sexual immorality. In one day, 23,000 people died. Can I tell you something? This whole world around you today wants you to look and to see things you shouldn't open your mind to. And without trying to get graphic, can I tell you something? Jesus is very plain in the Gospels when he says, if you look at somebody with lust in your eye, guess what? You've already committed sin. I think it's time we start calling sin for what sin is. Now, God doesn't kill 23,000 people in one day like that for sinning. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Boy, wouldn't that be a news broadcast? 2.5 million people died from watching pornography last night. Just fell over dead. Boom! Judgment of God. Well, that'd be something. That may actually stop it. I don't know. I doubt it, though. Because we're getting to that day where the Bible talks about the days, it wasn't the days of Noah where the imagination of every man's heart was evil and the whole world was filled with violence. We're really close to that, by the way. He says, listen, God had a plan, and anything other than the plan is sexual immorality. We have got to get back to saying, if we really believe, you listen to me today, please. If we really believe that this Bible is the inspired word of God, we really got to start paying attention to what it says about the way we live our lives. This means something. This has to be the forefront of our lives. If it's not, then our lives are a lie. Because if we say we believe it's God's word and we don't live by its example, then we're lying to the world. No wonder the world doesn't want to come to church. It says, don't let us tempt Christ. We talked about that a little while ago. When you say, God, if you don't do it my way, I'm going to be mad at you. Can't tell you how many times I've seen boys and girls mad because they didn't get their favorite toy for Christmas and blame somebody for it. God, you said if I followed you, everything would be all right, and I want that new car. Where's my new car? Still at the dealership. Where it's going to stay until you buy it, maybe. But it says they were destroyed by serpents. I remember another family that was destroyed by a serpent once. Can I tell you something? When are we going to stop treating Christ like he's one of us and start treating him like he's the King of Kings? When are we going to stop treating Christ like he's common and ordinary? And when are we, the church, going to start revering and honoring Jesus Christ like he's the Lord of Lords? He said some complained and were destroyed as well. These things are our examples, see? These things were given to us not so we could say, see, if we avoid those four things, we'll be all right. But he's saying, listen, obedience is the way to go. Those that obeyed made it to the promised land. And we're blessed. I don't know if you realize this or not. Caleb was like 85 years old. He shows up on the door of the promised land and goes, I'm here. Hallelujah. His family's like, I don't know if you realize this, Caleb, but you're 85. And there's giants on that hill. He said, if my God can get me here all this way, I'll tackle them giants by myself. You can come if you want to. Well, whether or not you go, I'm going. I didn't survive this wilderness to die at the foot of a mountain God promised me. I'm going to the top, and I'm claiming that mountain. Joshua was blessed the same way because he was obedient, because he didn't lose faith in God, because he didn't doubt God. He made it all the way to the promised land. We can never forget the fact that the moment we start to pick sin over God, we're going to lose. Well, Pastor, that's not always true because I see people who don't love God at all and they're rich and they got all kinds of stuff and they got this and they got that and they got that boat like the one you want. And I joke about that sometimes, but I'll tell you what. If it meant trading my soul for a boat, you can keep your boat. For what profits a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? The Bible says also in Proverbs, sin's good for a season. But when the judgment comes, people are going to be wishing they chose something different. See, we forget in the great story of the promised land and the Exodus, we forget most of the times that only two people made it. Only two people had enough gumption about them to trust God and not choose sin. Paul understands this. That's why he finishes it with this. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. What's that mean, Pastor? That means if you try to stand up to temptation without Jesus, you're not going to make it. You need Jesus. Look, Joshua and Caleb made it to the promised land because they had God with them. Because they chose him over everything else. Sure, there were giants in the land. Sure, there were issues and problems. Sure, they could have done what everybody else did and fit in just fine, but they chose God. When the world around them chose something else. Can I tell you, if you're living for God today, the world around you is not going to be happy with you because they don't like God. They've asked God to leave this country. They've asked God to leave them alone. They don't want anything to do with God. That's why you have to make a stand. I love Joshua's stand. I wish more churches and church households would do it. By the way, if you're living for God just in home and just in the church and you're not living for God in your home, can I tell you, you must make a declaration for the Lord Jesus Christ in your home as well. You know, I can't expect the church to raise my kids up right. I got to do it in my home. Joshua said, as for me and my house, I'm making a stand. As for me and my house, we're not going to follow the ways of the world. We're not going to fall into idolatry. We're not going to fall into sexual immorality. As for me and my house, we're not going to fall into the temptation to complain about everything and not want to do anything about it. As for me and my house, we're not going to fall into the temptation of wanting to tempt Christ into doing things for us. We're not going to try to manipulate the hand of God for our own personal benefit. You know what the Bible says about that? When you try to manipulate the supernatural for the natural things, that's witchcraft. It's manipulation. God's not about that. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, God helped us to get to this promised land. We're going to keep God in the promised land. He says, I know things are hard. It's not easy to live for God. But that's why he says, but God is faithful. I don't know how cognitively aware you are of this statement, but this is the hope that we have above all else that this world has. God is faithful. God is faithful. And here's what he says. He says everything that they went through in the Old Testament, they could have avoided. Everything they went through in the Old Testament that caused them to die, they could have avoided. Idolatry, they could have avoided. Sexual immorality, they could have avoided. Tempting Christ, they could have avoided. Complaining. I love you. Complaining, they could have avoided. But they chose those things over God. Paul says, listen, with every temptation, God makes a way of escape. That you may be able to bear it. You can go through that. You need not be stuck because of temptation, but you can say no to temptation. In fact, the Bible says this great statement. You can resist the devil. Back in the Old Testament, it was to resist temptation, you had to run away. Joseph put it this way. The Bible says when Joseph was tempted by Potiphar's wife, she grabbed a hold of his cloak and he took off running. He said, keep the cloak. I'm not doing it. Now the Bible says you can resist the devil and he's got to go. He's got to flee. You stand your ground. You say no to temptation. And never forget, God is faithful, that if he's on your side and you're on his side, you can say no to temptation and it's got to leave. We have a lot of never forgets. They say, don't never forget 9/11. I'll give you two more. Never forget your wife's birthday and never forget your anniversary. Wise person once said that. I don't know who that was, but it's been good for me all these years, and I've almost been married 16 years now. Listen to me. Never forget God's faithful. Never forget God's faithful. People are going to get it wrong. People are going to fall to the wayside because they don't remember that if they could just call on the name of the Lord and they resist the devil, they can flee. They can make that temptation leave. They can stand on the righteousness of God. They can stand firm and not fall and not be left like all the others in the wilderness. Tired of seeing Christians fall to the wayside because they forget God is faithful. I'm tired of seeing believers lose hope because this world seems so bad. Because they forget God is faithful. I'm tired of seeing the devil get the last laugh. You listen to me, and I'll close with this. I'm tired of seeing the devil get the last laugh because he can trick you into forgetting how good God is and the blessings of God and the faithfulness of God. It's time to put the devil on high alert. We're never going to forget. God is faithful. We're not going to let all this book, the hundreds of years it took to write it, thousands of years it had to hide to protect it, the millions of hours it took to translate it, so that it could be real proof to us that God is faithful. We're not going to forget this. We're not going to let all those stories of the heartache of the children of Israel go to the wayside because we choose sin over God. Instead, what we're going to do is we're going to say, Lord, let your word be a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And let me never forget what it says in the message of this book, that God is faithful. If we're going to be the church God wants us to be, we have to remember. We have to remember God is faithful. We're so glad you joined us, but you really should visit in person. Service times are 10:30 Sunday morning, 6 p.m. on Sunday night, 7 p.m. on Wednesday night. We're located at 582 Rockingham Road. It's on Highway 5 across from Everyday Inn in Bellows Falls. You can also visit our website at www.faithchristianag.com. God bless you. Have a great day.